Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation.
What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me?
I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord.
I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord.
I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving.
Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. For he satisfieth the longing soul, and filleth the hungry soul with goodness.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies.
Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases.
In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
Amen.
Let's bow together in prayer. Father, indeed, in awe we stand before you, knowing that as simple little mortal human beings, we can come before you, the Almighty God, and express our hearts. That's a wondrous thing, Lord. And we give you thanks for that, for being so open, so willing to listen, so welcoming of our prayers and of our needs, for certainly they are many. And Father, I just praise you for this morning, for being able to celebrate your goodness and your love, being able to so freely gather together in the common bond of sharing Jesus Christ as our Savior and expressing our hearts to you. Lord, it's a joy to see the children come out and share with us for a few moments, to see their smiles, to see their energy, to see your love exuded through all of them. We just praise you for that gift, for the gift that they are. And Father, now we just ask that you'd help us to hear your words, that you'd help us to approach Thanksgiving with an attitude of gladness and of joy, not just for the day, but for each day, because you're our God. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As believers in Jesus Christ, I think we really ought to approach Thanksgiving not as an event, but as an attitude. I think Thanksgiving ought not to be simply be one day of gluttony and of football. I think it ought to be an attitude of our heart every day, because Almighty God loves us and cares for us and blesses us far more than we ever fully realize. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, the Apostle Paul writes, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Now, please read it carefully. It doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances, because sometimes our circumstances stink. You know, sometimes our circumstances are awful. He doesn't say give thanks for all of that. He says give thanks in all circumstances. Why? Because God is there in the midst of all of our circumstances. However horrible, rotten, bad they may be, God is still there in the midst of that. Imagine what it would be like if he wasn't. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I just think it needs to be an attitude of our heart. During a terrible snowstorm, Susan was out shoveling the sidewalk, and she stopped for a moment to wave at her neighbor, and he said, "Why isn't your husband out helping you shovel this snow? It's deep and it's heavy, and why isn't he out here helping?" She said, well, somebody had to stay in and watch the kids. She said, "So we drew straws." And he said, "Oh, I'm sorry about your bad luck." She said, "Don't be sorry. I won." See, that's an attitude of the heart, of thankfulness. I want to share 3 points with you this morning. We have it so good. We enjoy it so much. And we express it far. We don't express it enough far too often. Okay? First of all, we have it so good. Anybody that's been around at all could preach for 3 days just on that one point. Give thanks. I'm not going to do that. Okay. But look, we have it so good. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, that's us, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. We have it so good. We have a Savior. He died to pay for all of our sins. It's all taken care of. We have it so good. I think I said a couple of weeks ago, if you get not one single gift at Christmas time, if you can't give one single gift at Christmas time, it doesn't change the meaning of Christmas at all. We still have a Savior. We still have it so good. In 1 John 3 and verse 1, John says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. Jesus was the only begotten of God, the only one born of God. The rest of us were adopted into his family. And he's lavished gifts upon us. I mean, he could have just given us a Hershey chocolate bar, but he gives us a hot fudge dripping sundae with nuts and sour cream, huh, brother? And a cherry on top. I think I meant whipped cream. After 29 years, you wouldn't think 1 week would do this to me. Yeah. Oh, well. He could have done much simpler things. He gave to us his only Son who paid for all of our sin. And he didn't stop there. He just lavishes stuff. He just constantly, I mean, look around. Count your blessings. It's incredible. And sometimes we make the mistake of worshiping the gifts instead of the God who gave them. And sometimes in the midst of those lavish blessings, we want to complain. And it seems so silly. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17. He said, command those who are rich in this present world. Let me pause right there. Because in the current political climate, there is just such extreme class envy. When he said, oh, those rich people, they're bad. You know, and you hear all this stuff about the rich and all of that. And so I think we read that and we go, well, that's not us. That's not me. I'm not rich. Yes, you are. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Man, I love that. God doesn't give to us begrudgingly. He gives to us for our enjoyment because he's promised us an abundant life. And he doesn't just give gifts. He lavishes stuff upon us. He just pours it out. And yet at times, you know, we want to complain. In comparison to the rest of the world, every one of us here is very rich. By the world's standards, I don't know that any of us are rich. But in comparison, I think we are all very, very rich. You know, I didn't look up all the statistics. I think I remember that just living in the United States, we're in like the top 3 or 4% in the world. Just living here. You know, we have things that the rest of the world can only dream of. Why does everybody want to come to the United States? Because we live in this incredible country and that God has lavished blessings upon us. And yet so many want to complain about what we don't have. My mom used to say, eat your liver, or eat whatever, because the children in India are starving. And my best response was, send it to them. That's, you know, they can have it. I don't. You know, we quote statistics and we say stuff like that and we just don't relate. But so let me try and put it in these kinds of terms. Have you seen how many yard sales there are in the summer? Does that get a little more convicting in terms of we're all rich? We all have so much stuff. Everybody just wants to get rid of all their stuff because we all have so much stuff. Have you been to a flea market lately? That's a wonderful experience that you ought to do. Now, not this time of year, but when it's warmer, just to see all the stuff that everybody's trying to get rid of. Last summer when I traveled with the Frelick boys, we left General Conference in Georgia. We were going to Florida to watch the space shuttle launch, and we went to South Carolina. The Frelick boys don't navigate very well, but that was planned. But anyway, we went to South Carolina to see some friends, and there's a place near our churches in South Carolina called the Jockey Lot. It's a huge, huge flea market. This place is like a city. There's restaurants in the middle. There's all, you know, all these people, thousands, hundreds of people have all this stuff to get rid of. We are rich. We got so much stuff. We absolutely don't know what to do with it. And the amount of trash that we generate, we hear all the time about how the landfills are all filling up. And then we want to complain about how hot it is, so we turn the air on. We complain about being cold, so we turn the heat up. We are incredibly blessed with a Savior. And with our physical needs being met, we have it so good. One day is not enough to say thanks for that. Secondly, we enjoy it so much. In James 1:17, it says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Every good and perfect gift. And it seems to me those gifts just keep coming. He just keeps giving. And they're good and they're perfect. And then sometimes we complain. Shame on us. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to read verses 8 through 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verses 8 through 12. This is in the context of Paul collecting an offering for the very poor people of Jerusalem. He traveled around to different churches and he told them ahead of time, and they're collecting an offering. And so he's kind of teaching about giving. And in verse 6 and 7, he gives that universal principle that you reap what you sow. And then in verse 7, he says, you know, give according to your heart. Don't give because you have to. Give what you agree to, you know, with God that you'll give. As God blesses you, then you give accordingly, Paul says. And then we'll pick it up with verse 8. Now, again, we have it so good, and we enjoy it so much. And listen to what Paul says here about God. He says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Verse 8 is amazing to me. God is able. Boy, there's a whole sermon series right there. God is able. I think if that's the first three words you say in the morning and the last three you say at night, you have a wonderful life. God is able. God is able. God is able. And then he goes on. He says he gives all grace in all things, at all times, having all that you need. He just doesn't stop giving. We have it so good and we enjoy it so much. But he says we'll be made rich in every way to hoard it, to see how much we can collect, to see if we can open a personal jockey lot. No. He says, we'll be made rich in every way in order to be generous on every occasion. We'll be made rich not to keep it, but to share it, to give it away, to bless other folks with it. We are made rich in order to share. And you know, at times we enjoy it so much, and I think we get a bit carried away with all that God provides on our behalf. It's not unusual at all to hear about the obesity epidemic in our country because we have it so good and we enjoy it so much. I read that since 1950, our children, we have increased our children's sedentary activities 4.5 times. You know, now they don't go out and play. They grab the video thing, and the only thing they move is their thumb muscles. They've just become far more sedentary, and that has other negative consequences. In Psalm 77:3, and this is not in the New International Version, a different version, it says, I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. Boy, that's powerful. You know, I got all complainy and whiny and grumpy, and I just didn't feel very good. No kidding. Philippians 2 and verses 14 and 15. Paul says, do everything without complaining or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. I think that's great. Positive people stand out. Positive people shine. People with an attitude of thanksgiving in their life are noticed because it's different in a whiny world. Dr. Dale Robbins writes this. He said, I used to think people complained because they had a lot of problems. But I have come to realize that they have problems because they complain. Complaining doesn't change anything or make situations better. It amplifies frustration, spreads the discontent and discord, and can invoke an invitation for the devil to cause havoc with our lives. Boy, I like that. Do everything without complaining or arguing, and then you shine like stars in the universe. God provides an abundance. We have it so good, and we enjoy it so much. And thirdly, we express it so little at times. I think we get such incredible blessings that it's just way too easy to take it for granted. Someone said this week, we've become an Obama nation. Sometimes we express it so little. A few years back, there was a story, or the cartoon of Snoopy Peanuts, and it's Thanksgiving Day, and so Charlie Brown brings out Snoopy's food, and it's just his regular bowl of dog food. And Snoopy looks at it, and he says, it's Thanksgiving Day, and all I get is a regular bowl of dog food. Everybody else is eating turkey and all their trimmings, and all I get is dog food. And then he looks at it a little bit, and he goes, well, could be worse. I could be a turkey. I read of a woman who was a German immigrant, came to America, and she was living on a farm. She related that she had lived on a farm in Germany. The story was related about this woman. She brought to her minister an amount of money that equaled about $10 of American money. And she said, normally in a year I have to spend about that much money on medicine. But she said, in the past year, we've had no sickness. So she said, I just want to say thanks to God and give this money. I thought, that's a great attitude of thanksgiving. It said later on she came and she brought about $5. Same woman came to her pastor. She explained that many of her neighbors on their farms, they'd suffered a lot of wind damage. And she said her farm was spared all of that. And so she simply wanted to say thank you to God. And she expressed it in that way. It reminded me of the Old Testament thank offerings, and there's a bunch of different offerings that were commanded to be given in the Old Testament. The thank offerings were officially part of the peace offerings, but they were just offered for blessings that had already been bestowed. It was just a way of saying, God, thank you for what you've done, and people would bring their sacrifices and offer them to God just to say thank you. And I think we do that in a very practical way with the offering as we give that. It reminded me of this story in 1 Chronicles 11, and we're not going to turn there, but you can look at it later. It's an absolutely incredible story, and technically it wasn't a peace offering, but David makes a sacrifice, an offering to God to say thank you to him. David and his mighty men, his army are with him, and his mighty men, and they've been fighting the Philistines, you know, the normal bad guys. And David's just a little bit weary, and I just picture him somewhat under his breath saying, oh, that I could get a drink from that well in Bethlehem. You know, just a refreshing glass of water from that well where the water is so good. And I picture him just kind of saying that under his breath, not making a big deal about it. But his mighty men were close enough to him to hear. You know, and it just speaks to me of being close enough to God to listen to what he's saying. His mighty men heard just that longing of David's heart. And so what do? They fight through the Philistine lines. They fight through the front lines into enemy territory. There was a Philistine garrison at Bethlehem. I mean, the place is crawling with Philistines all over the place. They fight their way to that well. They get a drink of water for their king. They fight their way back, and they come, and they say, here, David, here's a drink of water from that well in Bethlehem. And David says, can't drink that. And these guys risked their life for a drink of water. And so he stayed thirsty, and he said, thank you, God. And he poured the water out as a sacrifice to God. And it's an amazing story. We have it so good, and we enjoy it so much, and sometimes we express it so little for the incredible things that God does on our behalf. Turn with me to Psalm 100. I have preached a number of sermons entirely based upon this psalm. It's loaded. There are all kinds of things in it that are great. But I just want to read it just in terms of expressing our thanks to God and having that attitude of thankfulness. Listen to what he says. Psalm 100, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Come with joy, with gladness, joyfully, with thanksgiving, with praise. Just needs to be an attitude of our heart. Not just Thursday, every day. Because God is our Lord, and he's given to us a Savior. I read a great story of a young man who was very proud of himself. He actually kind of became full of himself. He had just graduated from college, and he'd taken the CPA exams, and he breezed through those, passed with flying colors, so he's now a full-fledged certified public accountant, and he's proud. His father had been an immigrant to the United States, and his father now owned his own little business and had it for quite a while. So filled with self-importance, this young man goes to his dad and began to criticize his dad's way of doing business. And he said, Dad, come on. He says, you don't even know how much profit you've made. He said, over there in that drawer you have accounts receivable. He said, over in this drawer, you have all your receipts. He says, and then you keep all your money in the cash drawer. He says, you don't have any idea of how much money you've made. And the wise father said, son, when I came to this country, the only thing I really owned was a pair of pants. He said, now these number of years later, your brother's a doctor, your sister's an art teacher, and you are a CPA. He said, your mother and I own our own home. He said, we drive our own, a nice car, and we've owned this little business for a number of years. He said, now add that all up and subtract the pants, and the rest is profit. That, I think, is an attitude of thanksgiving. No, he didn't know exactly how much, but he knew he'd been blessed. And he expressed that. We express it so little. Wednesday night, you get opportunity to come and share in thanksgiving to God. If you can't figure out responses to this sermon, I think we're all in trouble. But let me just suggest a few responses. I think we can say we're thankful for a lot of things. Sometimes things we take for granted. We can say we're thankful for paying taxes because that probably means we're employed. We can be thankful that the clothes that we wear are a little snug because that means we eat very well. We can be thankful for the lawn needing to be mowed, the leaves being raked, and the gutters needing cleaned out because that means we have a home and a place to stay. We can be thankful for that spot at the far end of the parking lot because that means we're able to walk. We can be thankful for the huge heating bill because that means we're warm. We can be thankful that we can complain about the government because that means we have freedom of speech. We can be thankful that the person behind us sings a little bit off key. That means we can hear. We can be thankful when we have a tiredness, a weariness at night, or an aching muscles because that means we've lived the day and hopefully been productive. We can be thankful when that alarm goes off early because that means we're alive. I think we can be thankful for things that we don't know because that means the opportunity to learn. We can be thankful for difficult times that give us the opportunity to grow. We can be thankful for our limitations because it gives us the opportunity to improve. We can be thankful for new challenges that give us the opportunity to build character. We can be thankful for the mistakes that we've made and for the lessons that teaches us. And we can be thankful for God's grace and the abundant life that we all very much enjoy. I read of a boy named David who was born without an immune system. So he was 12 years old when he got a bone marrow transplant and they began really trying to rebuild his immune system. He was that, you know, proverbial boy in the plastic bubble. That was his existence. He'd never had human contact. And after that transplant, as they began to really develop his immune system and as things began to improve for him, he was asked what he would like to do if and when he got out of that plastic bubble. And he said, I'd like to walk barefoot in the grass. And touch my mother's hand. We have it so good, and we enjoy it so much. And sometimes we just express it so little. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Father, may Thanksgiving for us not ever be just an event. May Thursday be very special. May we totally enjoy it, spending time with family and friends. May we be thankful that we can do that. But Lord, may Thanksgiving be an attitude of our heart that we celebrate today and tomorrow and every day that we have yet to come. Because you're worthy and less than that from us robs you. So, Father, may we celebrate Thanksgiving because you've blessed us beyond our wildest dreams. In the name of Christ, we pray.